Anyway, if you've heard it before, again, I don't have any records written down where I have, so. Anyway, life goes on, doesn't it? Sometimes it goes on faster than what we want it to. This summer my wife and I will be celebrating, I think it's 21 years being married, as a friend of all of ours said, that as he so well romanticizes his wife, I don't know if that's a word or not, but he said, "Oh, honey, it seems just like however many years it was, just 11 days, or in my case, 21 days underwater." Melissa, you're not embarrassed, are you? John's the one that told me that a couple of years ago about his 10th anniversary, I think it was. And I thought he was really being romantic there, and then he slipped that other undercut in. 21 years can be a long time in some ways, and in some ways it's a short time. You learn certain aspects in 21 years, and yet at the end of 21 years, you still realize that you're still learning, still trying to understand. But there's one thing that we have in our relationship. I don't know if you have it in yours or not, but we have it. And it's the principle that has to do with forgiveness. It's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. It works quite well. A few years ago, I bought a Matthews switchback bow. And every year since then, Matthews has come out with a brand new bow. And, you know, the old one, it's a little bit like computers. As soon as the next one comes out, the old one drops drastically in price. So every year, if you buy that new bow, you're spending a fair amount of more money. And every year I go back into the bow shop and they're trying to convince me to buy the newest one, the latest one. So I shoot it. Nah, it's not that big of a change yet. Well, this year they came out with the Matthews Reason. You don't know anything about that perhaps, but it's a really nice bow. But it's going to cost. You know, if I wanted that bow, it'd be better for me just to go ahead and trade my old one in and bring the new one home and then talk to her about it. Because it's easier to get forgiveness. Where's Brady and Michelle at? They're newlyweds here. They don't want to hear this. Or she don't want to hear this kind of stuff, probably. It's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Don't count on it. I've thought so many times of hunting scenarios. Being out there in the woods and had a certain time to be back home because she had a Tupperware party to go to or something like that. You know, something real important. And I thought, you know, what would happen? What would I do if 30 minutes before I had to be home, or a certain period of time before I had to be home, that the biggest buck of my life walked within sight of me, not within range, but within sight, and bedded down. Would I use that loophole and get out of the tree stand and try to stalk within range, hopefully getting in there before I had to be home, but doubtful that it would take place, only to come home with that big buck in the back of the truck 2 hours late? You know, I can hear her. I can hear her in this scenario saying to me as soon as I walk in, "Why didn't you at least call me?" Well, because it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. You don't have time to stand out there in the woods arguing on the phone about the validity or the value of not being home in time to whatever. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. You see, that works better than a phone call. Because, you know, she is a follower of Christ, and Christ said we have to forgive. So you ladies aren't getting with this too much. How many times do we do God that way? How many times do we do God that way? No, we don't think of it that way, but we treat things just the same. No, it's totally unfair, and I know some of you are sitting out there thinking, that poor Sister Ziegler, she has to be married to that guy. That actually came up in a conversation this week. Something was said, and I said, well, they just feel sorry for you having to be married to me, that's all. I realize that. That's probably true. But what about the way we do God? Oh, I'll go ahead and do it, and then I'll make it right later. You know, before you go to bed, you get down on your knees and then confess all your sins that day. Or you'll go ahead and do it and then wait for revival meeting to make it right. Or youth revival, or camp meeting, or maybe you'll wait till Saturday night before you go to bed on Saturday so you're all fresh and ready for church Sunday morning. There was a nice middle-aged man that wanted to serve the Lord. He was a great guy. Just friendly, outgoing, a good friend. But along the way, he found himself wanting to do something that he had always been taught was wrong. Always been taught that the Bible preached and spoke against it. But he found himself wanting to do it, and he really wanted to do it. As a matter of fact, he wanted to do it so much that he couldn't imagine not doing it. He couldn't imagine making it through life without doing what he did. This one thing that he wanted to do. It became a passion. It became a drive in his mind. But still, somewhere in the back recesses, in the shadows, he had this thought always coming to the forefront whenever it would press in upon him that he had been taught that it was wrong. But then again, it would rise up and he wanted to do it so bad. So he sought counsel. That's a good thing, isn't it? He sought counsel. He went after some counsel. He began asking some questions and talking to people that he felt like that he had confidence in. And that's good enough. Except, you can ask questions long enough to different people until you'll find somebody who will give you the answer you want. And don't doubt it, you and I, when we seek for something with that kind of passion, we already have an answer that we want to have, that we want to hear back. That's why it's so vital, so important for us, the younger we are, to make our lines, our boundaries. Because it's better that we make those boundaries before we get into the emotional strain of whatever it is that we're involved, going to be involved with or coming up against. I see some of your heads nodding like you've been there and done that. And sometimes we've made some attempts at some boundaries, but we've never really crossed it within our heart and crossed it off, said, no, I'm not going that way, I'm not doing that thing, I'm not going to be involved with that. Only to come down to the point of temptation and do this very thing and say, well, if I feel bad about it later, then I'll ask God to forgive me. It's better to get forgiveness, or it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. So this man asked for counsel, and he finally found somebody who gave him an answer like this. The counsel to him was, and it doesn't matter what it was, okay? The issue is not necessarily in the point of what he was struggling with. But the answer came back, said, go ahead and do it. Perhaps God will allow you to. Perhaps He won't say no once you've done it. Now that came from a man who had been in the church nearly all his life. But he wanted to make it as comfortable for this young man as he could. So he gave him that counsel. Now, I don't know about you. I would like to think that you're on the same page as I am this morning, that wasn't the proper counsel. That's dangerous counsel. You say, well, how do we do something like that? How do we do things like that? Well, we can do it, young people, we can do it with boyfriends, girlfriends. Seek God's forgiveness rather than His approval prior to, we follow up with. And that leads, you know, boyfriend, girlfriends, what does it lead to? It leads to husbands and wives. That's what it leads to. Maybe I could put in a side note there. If you're dating just simply so you can say you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you're dating for the wrong reasons. You know, and the thing is that sometimes we have it in our mind, or the devil puts it in our mind, at least somewhere along the line it comes to our mind that we say, or we come to the conclusion that once we've done it, well, you know, I can't go back and change it, so sure, I realize it was a mistake or it was wrong, but God's just going to have to work with me now. That, you know, that just sent a chill up my spine when we think that way. To think that somehow we can gain God's forgiveness after the fact and think that there's nothing that's going to happen, there's no consequences to pay, there's no price involved, that forgiveness just wipes it all away. Oh, we do that with all kinds of means, not just in our relationships with other people, but we do it with purchases and spending money, and we do it with movies and magazines and books and places and all kinds of stuff it's done with. You know, you've always said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to see that. I'm not going to read that. I'm not going there. But then when it comes down to the peer pressure, and we all have a measure of peer pressure somewhere in our lives, when it comes down to the point of that pressure, we cave in and think, well, I guess I'll go ahead and do it, and then I'll ask God to forgive me, or if He doesn't make me feel bad about it, I guess there's nothing wrong with it. See, we're crossing over some very dangerous territory when we have that kind of a thought that we're going to get by with it or attempt to get by with it, thinking that God will, you know, do the Balaam's donkey thing to us. Or the Saul of Tarsus, Damascus road to us. Someone told me this week, I need a Damascus road experience. I said, no, you don't. You won't get it. Well, why not? Paul did. I said, Paul was going steadfast for his religious beliefs. God had to stop him. And I looked at that person and I said right into his face, I said, you know way too much for you to think that God is going to stop you the way He stopped Paul. You see, we have so much knowledge that we can't expect God to beat us over the head with a 2x4. Or give us some bright light out there shining somewhere to get us to stop in the middle of our tracks. Oh, it might be a wonderful thing sometimes. You know, maybe something's coming to your mind. What is it that you've done or used in that way to get God to give His okay to it, thinking that that He's going to give His approval? Give His approval. My wife, bless her dear heart. Isn't it nice when the preacher picks on his wife? I know it's rough being married to me. I feel sorry for her often, just not often enough. As much as she thinks she does, she can't read my mind. You know, you ladies, you like to think that you know how to read your husband's mind. She doesn't know my thoughts. Can you just imagine what the relationship would be like if I were to really take advantage of that? Get forgiveness instead of permission sort of thing. No, I did not go out and get a reason, Matthew's reason. I am not planning to go out and get a Matthew's reason. That was just simply an example of a possibility. I don't think I've ever made her late for a Tupperware party because I was hunting. She hasn't been to a Tupperware party in years. But what would happen if I were to take advantage of that system? What would happen? How long do you suppose it would be before forgiveness would be hard to come by? Probably once. And then the second time, there'd be a little more discussion. Discussion. But you know, God does know if we're playing games. Sometimes it's easy to forget that because we don't see God, we don't hear Him face to face with a voice coming right at us. But you know, God does know if we're playing games. God does know if we're playing games. And when we play games with God, wouldn't you all agree that it is a very dangerous game to play? It is. As a matter of fact, David, a man after God's own heart, warns of its dangers. Talks about its dangers. And he basically gives every preacher a 3-point outline in Psalm 19, verse 13. And the first point of the outline is the subject matter of this morning. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. The second point is, let them not have dominion over me. And the third point is, because I have kept back from presuming upon God's grace, that then will keep me from the great transgression. I have it written down in the bottom of my Bible there with a line drawn to that point, the big stuff. You know, the stuff that we think we will never do? No, I'll never do that. No, I'll never go there. No, I won't go that far. But you know how people get to that point? It's because somewhere along the line they began to presume upon God's grace and say, well, I'm going to go ahead and do this, and if He doesn't smite me down and make the donkey talk, then I'm just going to go ahead and do it because apparently it's all right. And so step by step they go until they get to the big stuff. Secret faults. He tells us, he talks about secret faults. In verse number 12 is where the secret faults is at. The Amplified says here in verse number 13, then shall I be blameless, and I shall be innocent and clear of great transgression. You see, there's a process involved. Let them not have dominion over me. Presumptuous sins, the things that I'm going to go ahead and do and presume that God will forgive me later. David is saying here, he's suggesting to us here with a strong suggestion that if we stay above this and we stay on the upright side, then we are walking where God wants us to walk without a fear of being dragged into something else. You've heard me preach about Job's hedge, remember? You know, was Job's hedge God installed, or was it personally installed? I said this not too long ago at another place and was challenged by it, or challenged over it. That's not necessarily a problem. But it indicates to me that if we want to challenge our own personal responsibility, then maybe we need to go back and reassess what God expects out of us. Now, I'm not saying that that's the only hedge that was around Job. I don't think I've ever said that. But I do believe that what is given to us in the book of Job is a personal hedge. That he hated evil. He eschewed evil. He loved God. And those two things kept him in a small circle, if you please, to where the devil couldn't reach in and get him because his mind was already made up. He wasn't out there on the edge presuming or presumptuous about some things and taking advantage of. As I mentioned, the indication here seems to be pretty strong, at least to me, that the presumptuous sins or presuming upon God's grace will lead to greater transgression, deeper sins. Perhaps it's even just the first step toward a broken fellowship or backslidden in heart. I may have started out this morning here with a little bit of fun joking around about forgiveness versus permission with my wife or about my wife, but David indicates to us that a constant acceptance in God's sight is what is needed. You say, well, where do you get that at? Well, you read just a little bit further. The next verse, David is so inclined to stay close to God. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Now, let's break that down just real quick here. Let's not take it literal the way he's giving it. Let's give it a little bit of subjective idea of what he's referring to. He's giving two different thoughts here. One is an outward expression and the other one's the inward expression. The outward expression, as he indicates, could come through our mouth, but it also could come through our actions. I don't believe that I'm off base there. I don't believe that I'm adding to what he's saying. I believe that that's the suggestion that he's given. It's two things, an outward and an inward. The outward is just as important as the inward. The inward is just as important as the outward. And David is saying, in the midst of this life that I live and the possibilities that I might presume upon God's grace by suggesting that I could do some things and gain permission or forgiveness following them, is putting me in a place that I'm in danger of losing the approval of God. God, what I need for you to do for me is to somehow help me and correct me so that my outward expression and my inward thought is always acceptable in thy sight. If we are going to have a successful walk with Jesus Christ, we're going to have to give Him so much of our lives that these lines are drawn automatically for us. That we're not going to step in that place of presuming and thinking that, well, I'll just go ahead and do it and God will forgive me about for it later. If we are going to experience what God has for us, then the secret faults and the presumptuous sins are going to fall away. I sang the song this morning, Fill My Cup. He can't fill it up if it's upside down. And He also can't fill it up if there's dirt in it. Talking about presumptuous sins, secret faults. There's another song that said, I want more of you. Something along the line of having more of you. What I need is just more of you. I've had all. I've had my fill. And yet I hunger still. Empty and dry. Lord, hear my cry. Just be honest with yourself. You don't have to say it to me by any means. But be honest. How many times have we cried that out? Lord, I'm empty. I'm dry. I need a filling. I need something to go on today. When yesterday we presumed on Him. We stepped out over onto something that, well, there's nothing wrong with it. There wasn't any sin involved with it. I think we better be careful about what we call sin and what we call not sin, because some things we want to touch and tamper with and say, well, you know, there's nothing really wrong with that, but where is it going to lead us to? Some of those things could be termed presumptuous sins. We're presuming on God giving us the acceptance in the midst, even though we know, or at least we have a shadow in our mind, that there's something that may not be right about it. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. I believe that's what David said. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Would you stand with me, please?